Sometimes an amazing opportunity or idea can appear at what seems to be the perfect time and be naturally aligned with your talents, but it turns out to be a mistake. Sometimes you can have a deep, intuitive feeling of just knowing that it must be the right thing to do, but it can still be a mistake. Sometimes it's a big blunder with long-lasting ramifications, and sometimes it's a small but frustrating one that becomes a complete hassle to get out of later. These kinds of opportunities and ideas often take you by surprise or pop in your head out of the blue, making you inclined to feel like it's fate or that it's the hand of God suddenly intervening in your life. It might be a new career path, a volunteer opportunity, a creative idea, a once-in-a-lifetime deal on a major purchase, or even a request from someone you admire to serve God. Any of these incredible possibilities may authentically seem like the right thing to do without question, analysis, or research. And if you were to even think of passing one of them up, one of your friends or coworkers is likely to ask you, why would you pass that up? It's a no-brainer. So the pressure mounts both internally and externally to say yes because you don't want to miss out on something or feel stupid for not accepting the obvious. I have made these kind of mistakes repeatedly in different ways, and in each instance, it usually ends up costing me an unbelievable amount of time, an exhausting level of effort, significant emotional or relational consequences, or unforeseen expenses in a myriad of formats. Many times, I've learned hard but life-changing lessons through these mistakes, but other times, I have missed the point entirely and end up doing the same thing all over again. So, a few years ago, for example, I volunteered to serve in a capacity that appeared to be a no-brainer. Saying yes also seemed to be so obvious that I didn't even pause to wonder what the consequences might be if I wasn't doing what God wanted me to spend my time on. I just assumed that because the opportunity was offered by a visionary and respected leader, that it would be the right choice for me. Long story short, it wasn't, not even close. And untangling myself from it, once I got deeply involved, turned out to be next to impossible for quite some time. When it was all over, I couldn't help but ponder what better tasks God had set aside for me during that time that I had missed out on. In the classic devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest, the great theologian Oswald Chambers wrote extensively about learning to live by the Holy Spirit's guidance and not our own, from the tiniest seemingly inconsequential decisions to the grandest life-altering ones. Because there's no way I can say it better than him, here is a paraphrased passage from the book. There are times when you cannot understand why you cannot do what you want to do. And sometimes God puts a blank in our lives. Don't ever try to fill in that blank for him. Wait on him to fill it. You may think that you see clearly what God's will is, a certain action or decision, but never do it on the impulse of that feeling. If you do, you will end up making difficulties that will take years of time to make right. Wait for God's time to bring it around, and he will accomplish it without heartbreak or disappointment. Wait for God to move. Oswald goes on to talk about the Apostle Peter and his behavior in the days leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus. Peter did not wait on Jesus. In his mind, he had already imagined being tested and succeeding, but the reality did not play out that way. He vowed to lay down his life for Jesus, but could not fulfill it as he promised because he did not know himself as truly as Jesus knew him. Peter's natural devotion to Jesus out of his own will and emotions wouldn't be enough to sustain him when his life was threatened. The same goes for us. Our natural talents, skills, and ability to reason will only carry us so far when making a decision about an idea or an opportunity. Yes, God gave us a brain to use it, but his intention was that we submit it to him for shepherding of the thought process. When we move in the Holy Spirit's leading versus our own, every gift we possess has the potential to be empowered by him. We were created in his image, and when we operate within his framework, any opportunity or idea can be effectively evaluated through his perspective. Conversely, there are tireless enemies at work to fool us into thinking that we can and should think and react on our own. One of these enemies is ourselves when we operate under the influence of pride. We think that we're smart enough to handle decisions, especially the tiny ones. And that's exactly when a tiny thing suddenly transforms into a giant ogre and knocks us on our butts. The other enemy has been around since the dawn of time. He slithered into the Garden of Eden with the same bag of tricks he uses today. He whispered a great idea in Eve's ear. A simply tantalizing and very reasonable idea just popped into her head. The element of surprise is a hallmark of how this enemy works best. The reason this tactic works so well is because we erroneously think that sudden chances must be acted upon quickly. The enemy works his evil logic best when we feel that we're under pressure. Act now, or you'll lose the opportunity, he whispers in our ears. Or even more insidious, this idea just presented itself so suddenly, it must be God talking. You had better obey and do it now. Newsflash for us all, me included, the Holy Spirit is not a high-pressure salesman. God will always give us time to seek him. Newsflash number two, God doesn't normally provide direction through circumstances alone. If life presents you with a great idea or opportunity, the Holy Spirit will work to provide you with confirmation, usually through specific scriptures and prayer and wise counsel. If you want to read more about how to hear God's voice, check out my previous blog post on this topic. So let's go back to Peter for a moment and imagine yourself in his shoes on the night before Jesus was crucified. You have physically walked with the Son of God for 3 years, seen miracles, and even performed some yourself. In your flesh, you might have a feeling that you are all that in a bag of chips. You are confident of what God can use you for. You are mature. And then the one whom you believe is the Messiah is suddenly taken from you and brutally beaten. Your confidence is shattered and others look at you with accusing stares. Under pressure, logic tells you to deny that you even know Jesus. After all, self-preservation is paramount. And in this instant, you've gone from the height of self-admiration to the pit of self-loathing as you watch Jesus being taken to the cross. But Peter learned, and so can we, that once we get to the end of ourselves, we will find the beginning of life that he actually intends for us. In John 15, Jesus reveals both the key to letting God make the decisions for our lives and the reward of doing so. Verses 4 through 5, 11 and 13 say, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." In this amazing chapter, Jesus foreshadows his coming sacrifice and simultaneously counters Peter's denial with the command to lay down his life. He also explains that when we abide in him, God's plan for us will be fulfilled. We will bear good fruit by learning to literally breathe, think, and move within the framework of our personal relationship with him. As we abide, he will prune us. It will hurt. But operating under his influence, we will be able to see the purpose and the pain and visualize his dreams for us coming true, i.e. the fruit, and ripening into joyous sweetness and savory satisfaction. In this passage of scripture, Jesus brilliantly covers all of the decisions we'll face in life, from the smallest to the biggest of all, self-sacrifice for others. Peter's transformation after the resurrection gives us all clarity into who we can be if we base our decisions on Jesus's knowledge of who we are and what's best for us, rather than our own interpretation and reliance on ourselves. We must determine to reach the end of ourselves and our self-sufficiency in order to realize there is not a strand of ourselves to rely on again. In that utterly destitute place, we become completely fit to be used by God and receive the Holy Spirit's wisdom and direction. Charles Hummel, in his little booklet, Tyranny of the Urgent, said, "But the root of all sin is self-sufficiency, independence from the rule of God. When we fail to wait prayerfully for God's guidance and strength, we are saying with our actions, if not with our words, that we do not need him. How much of our service is actually a going it alone. Our natural devotion, abilities, talents, reason, and imagination are not enough to bear true spiritual fruit. And if we manage our priorities and make our decisions without taking the proper time, whether it's a moment or many days, to seek His direction and confirmation, then we will always be straining to produce fake fruit. It might vaguely resemble fruit in some saccharine or plastic kind of way, and we might feel satisfied for a while. But only ideas, opportunities, work, and service generated while abiding in Christ will blossom and produce eternity-changing fruit and authentic, joyful fulfillment.